Babes, welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius podcast brought to you by NBA 2K25. You can get your copy of NBA 2K25 pre-ordered by hitting the link in the description, and that helps support the show. So please get that done. It's myself, Marmutzi, alongside me, the dynamic duo, Mr. BJ Armstrong, Mr. Scott Perry. How you guys doing today?
We in your world, we just trespassing, man. We in your world, just trespassing.
Very well said, Scott.
Exactly.
Both worlds.
Most kind of allow us
to be in his world.
Exactly. Speaking of kindness, we got a tweet come in today from Carolyn Clark, who says, "Mo, you, Scott, and BJ are always welcome up to Scotland for some golf. We are 40 minutes away from St. Andrews, and Kevin, her husband, used to be a golf pro. So
awesome.
He's going to show us around the course. Well, Scott, you let me know when you want to get to Scotland. The McNiven family, they're real loyal listeners of the show. They listen to the show as a family, which I think is beautiful. They're living the dream, and we're going to hit the golf course up in Scotland.
Oh, we'll take Carolyn and her family up on that one.
Most definitely. But on yesterday's episode, we talked about the Western Conference and which teams we see making a big improvement going into next year. And Scott, you had too many teams to talk about. So today we're going to focus on the Eastern Conference. So BJ, you were a little bit quiet yesterday, so I'm going to start with you. Which team in the East is making the leap this year?
Oh, gosh. Let me get to our Eastern Conference. It's got to make a jump, right?
We're talking about. And don't you dare say the Pistons. I'm gonna tell you that right now. They ain't going nowhere except 15th place. Okay.
But Mo, you know, you did say it didn't have to be a playoff team. It's just a jump in games, right? Jump in position.
They won 14 games this year. They might win 15 next year.
I think the over and under the bet, I don't know if it's ESPN bet, I believe, but the Vegas is putting it at 24.5 for the Pistons.
I see. They can win 20.
24.5. Is that 10 games? They'll win 10 games.
10 games. Game improvement.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. So I'm going to say this. I think the Knicks should win over 50 games this year.
They won 50 on the dot for second place last season.
Okay. So I think the Knicks will improve. Mm-hmm. That would be one.
Second round, how far do you think they go in the playoffs?
Anything short of the conference finals is going to be fair game for them at this stage.
Jalen Brunson left $100 million on the table. They better be in the finals.
Well, getting to the finals is tough, but I think this team is constructed to at the very least get to the conference finals. So I think they will improve in their 50-game mark. Toronto, I think, will improve this year. They won what? How many games did they win last year, Mo?
30.
The Raptors won 25 games.
Okay. 25. I think they will improve from a year ago. And I can't say Detroit. I can't say Washington. I can't say Charlotte is going to improve. Brooklyn is clearly, they're not in the trying to improve.
One more year of Ben Simmons, then they're free.
Yes.
But they did sign Killian Hayes.
I don't think the Bulls. I don't stop it, Mo. I don't think the Bulls. I'm gonna say.
We didn't notice that. Mo thought that was going unnoticed.
I'm gonna say the Miami Heat.
Okay.
I think the Miami Heat. You know what were they last year? They were in seventh or eighth place or something.
They were eighth with 46 wins and 36 losses.
Okay, so I know they're always trying to win. Last year, by all accounts, was a down year for them by their standards. I think they will.
They were the 8th seed the year before, too.
Yeah, but, you know, last year didn't end right with Jimmy. Something didn't seem right last year with Jimmy Butler.
Yeah. When you decide that you don't really want to play the regular season, it's hard for the playoffs to go the right way for you.
Yeah, so I'm going to say the Miami Heat will be my third team.
Okay. Mr. Perry, who you got your eye on?
Okay, well, he had one of the teams, and I'm going to start with them. The New York Knicks, like the broadcaster likes The PA announcer says at the Garden. That's how that's his inflection in his voice. But the New York Knicks.
Hit him with it again, Scott. Hit him with it again.
He said, "Your New York Knicks."
Okay. Man, I gotta get back to New York. I haven't been to a game in the Garden since Melo was there. Been to a game in Madison Square since Melo was playing for the team.
Wow.
So the Knicks, and I'm in total agreement. Conference finals. You know, they were in the conference semifinals the last 2 years, as a matter of fact. So conference finals, they've got all of the necessary ingredients to get there. The depth, you know, Randall's coming back. Mitchell Robinson's back. You know, Tibbs has his extension. Everybody's comfortable. You know, everybody got paid this offseason one way, shape, or form. I know Randall's still up for his extension. But look, the team, it is conference finals at minimum for this New York Knicks team. And even they should win more games than they did last year in the regular season.
Even if they don't add another big to the squad, because if you look at the numbers, Hartenstein was invaluable to them when in helping Jalen Brunson in those on-off minutes.
Yes.
The difference was staggering.
Yeah, even if they don't add, but I still look, Precious Achiuwa is still floating out there. I could still see him returning there. Our buddy Mr. Armstrong has a center still that doesn't have a home yet. And Bismack Biyombo that could be helpful. And again, you know, Jericho Sims is there. Been there for the last few years with the Knicks. He's athletic. He can buy them some time if there's an injury more in the short term versus the long term where it happened last year. So I'm not overly concerned about it. But again, Knicks conference finals at minimum has to be where this team is going to land this year. Second team, another team that was talked about a lot this summer, who's going to be competing.
Philadelphia.
I'm going to say Philadelphia 76ers.
No.
I'm putting the
BJ,
pressure
why
on.
Why that reaction? Why that reaction?
Exactly. But here's what I'm telling you why. BJ, they got knocked out in the first round. What I'm saying is, at the very minimum, they've got to get to the conference semifinals this year. Otherwise, it's a total bust or disaster.
No.
So I'm saying.
No. They have to get to the conference finals.
I know you want to say
minimum get to the conference,
but
they be in the second round or the first round every time. And right. Embiid is what? How old is he going to be? 31 now. His prime.
I get it, but I'm saying
you know
we're talking about improving off last year. So I'm saying I picked the 76ers, at the very least they got to be a conference semifinal. I agree with you, Mo, that it will be viewed as a failure if they don't get to the conference finals. But for the sake of this question and this exercise, I'm giving them at least conference semifinals. If it's not that, then it's totally catastrophic if they're bounced in the first round again. And my last team.
Wait. Before we get to the last team, BJ, why did you have that reaction to the Philadelphia 76ers?
Well, you know, last week, this week, in the month of July, my co-host, Mo, has made it clear the best ability is availability.
That's a fact. I'm glad you learned the lesson.
No. Unlike the Philadelphia 76ers, I had a very valid excuse.
No doubt.
I want to say this again. Unlike the players on the Philadelphia 76ers, I had a valid excuse. Now, this isn't a talent issue. I agree with Scott. If everybody shows up, they're going to improve. They're going to be great. Everyone shows up. If we get a 75% rate of showing up, they will improve. But I don't have any confidence that that's going to happen. And I have every reason to believe, as the years go by, that my hope probably outweighs the reality of this situation, for whatever the case may be. And that's why, you know, I would ask my good friend, Scott Perry, I would say, hey, Scott, if you were given an opportunity to sign, not the talent, Paul George, not the talent. Mm-hmm. Talent Paul George becomes available, right, everyone signs it. That's a no-brainer. Mm-hmm. Based on what we've seen, mm-hmm, would you do that deal? That's a real legit conversation.
Oh, that's legit. Yeah, and Mo and I had that conversation, I believe, one of the times that you were absent from the show.
You on load management.
Exactly. When you on load management.
Yeah, I was load management. And
the big concern I had, because it's legit what you're saying, when you're talking about a four-year deal for a guy that's in his, you know, approaching his mid-30s already, and this past season, he played, I know it was over 70 games this year.
74.
74 games. That was the exact number. But those 3 years prior to that, he played no more than 54 games in a season. And in a couple of seasons, was less than 54. Mm-hmm. I don't have it right in front of me right now.
74, so, 56, 31, 54, 48. Yes. Since he left OKC.
So that obviously, that is a huge concern. You are absolutely right.
The availability aside as well.
And what I said, and Mo, you correct me if I'm wrong, but what I said at the time, that is why the Clippers held such a hard line on, one of the reasons, on not re-signing him to the length of the deal that he wanted, which was 4 years, and even balked at paying him the same amount of money that they were paying Kawhi Leonard for 3 years, because they already know in Kawhi Leonard, what they were signing him up for, more than likely he was going to, you know, they'd be doing great if he played 65 games a year. And to have another guy in that same bucket, and they haven't really won in a big way, that if you're the Clippers, they probably, you know, they probably would have paid him a big figure for 2 years, maybe, just to bring it back together. But any, you know, for 3 years, he was going to have to take a little less than even Kawhi Leonard got. So no, for me, you're right. When you're talking about writing a check for this, I would have been hesitant doing that from the Philadelphia side, because that's a lot of money. And, you know, if he's, you know, going to miss a lot of games, you know, I won't say probability, but look, over his recent history, he's missed a lot of games. So that's a lot of money. So, but for this exercise on, you know, naming the teams, I'm just banking on the fact that he played 74 games this year in a contract year, that he's going to feel the pressure going to Philadelphia, at least in year one, and from Joel Embiid and you know, the city and all that, that you're going to get the most out of him and the most games out of him. And that's why I went with them being at least a second round team for this year.
We talk about availability is the best ability, right? Mm-hmm. However, there are some cases in which the talent is so much that you accept the lack of availability, e.g. Kawhi Leonard. You know that he might not always be available, but when he is, if he's healthy for that playoff run, he might be the best player in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Paul George last year, 19.5 points, 41% from the field as the first option for the Clippers, and he did that to go along with less than 5 assists a game. Is that worth a max contract in the NBA? There was no Kawhi Leonard to steal his thunder, and this is what he brought us in that first round of the playoffs. That doesn't look to me like a max contract player who was playing out there.
There's a whole lot of shows. I mean, this could be a whole show on talking about max contracts. There's probably a lot of players that haven't, quote unquote, earned a max contract, but because of the market and where teams are. A lot of teams now feel compelled to just to get that kind of talent. They're gonna overpay. Again, for me, for somebody like me, I never put myself in that bucket. My list of max contract players probably would be a lot fewer than some of my peers and some of the teams. So, you know, I don't know the exact number of max contracts in the NBA right now. And look, I'm all for it for the players that go ahead and get out as much money as you can. But again, in my seat, I personally would not have paid a number of those max contracts just because my definition of a max player, to your point, Mo, is different. And I have a high standard for that. That max, if you're going to be a max player, then I got to know, again, we talked about the availability, number one, that's huge. Number two, you got to impact winning to a level that I'm comfortable knowing I'm going to minimally get to the conference semifinals. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to be a draw, meaning that I'm going to be selling out my building each and every night because of your presence on the team. See, that's the bar for me when you're talking about max contract player. But that has been skewed in today's NBA now based on a number of factors. You know, teams afraid of losing guys and losing that talent and just being comfortable of being in the middle versus, you know, doing what's right and really, you know, trying to win. So people are afraid to fall off. So, yeah, we're going to sign this guy who's a very good player and, you know, kind of ride with that, knowing that only one team is going to win the championship each year anyway. And so anyway, I digress a little bit. I didn't mean to go on such a long soliloquy about max contracts, but you asked, so I had to give you
We appreciate the knowledge. We appreciate the knowledge.
So, and then I had to answer my man's question. So that's Philly for me. So I got New York, Philly, my third team.
You got
the Orlando Magic.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Didn't they win 40-something games? They were in the top four.
Yeah, 47 games. They finished in the fifth seed just by one loss.
So what I'm saying to you now,
Cleveland just beat them.
And I looked at it from a playoff perspective. They got their feet wet in the playoffs last year.
Mm-hmm.
I expect them to get to the conference semifinals this year. See, I'm putting a lot of pressure on people this year. You go out, you do well last year, and they added to their team. I really like the addition of Kentavious Caldwell-Pope for this team. He adds some defense, some toughness, championship experience, ability to space the floor, because if there was a weakness with this team, was their perimeter shooting. He should add to that. And then I'm expecting Paolo to be a year better, and a year wiser, Jalen Suggs, Franz Wagner. So I like this group, and I like the job that Coach Mosley has done with them. He has made sure that they understand that defense is hugely important to having success in this league. And so that is ingrained in this group and in this team now. So I'm looking for them to take a jump, not level off. You got to ascend. So go to that next round, Orlando Magic, be a conference semifinalist this year. So that is, those are my three teams in the East.
Mm-hmm. BJ, anyone you'd add to the list of teams that are going to improve, get further in the playoffs or in the regular season?
You know, I really don't. To add to the list, you know, Indiana, they're hovering around 50 games. Cleveland was hovering around 50. New York, mm-hmm. if I remember correctly, you said it was at 50. And yeah, I think it's going to be hard to improve on that. You know, maybe 5 games here or there, but I don't see them making a significant improvement. I don't see these teams going from 47 to 57 or 47 to 60 wins. Talking about Orlando or Indiana, Philadelphia, listen, do they have the talent? Yes. Do I think they can sustain it over an 82-game season? No. So But I mean, I agree with what Scott said about Orlando. I really think they should be improved. But experience has taught me it's much more difficult to play with expectations on you. I know mm-hmm. Scott has made it clear that he's putting pressure and expectations on these teams. You know, last year, at least I didn't hear anyone saying they thought that Orlando was going to be in the top four or five in the conference. I didn't hear anyone at the beginning of the season. Now they are. Mm-hmm. I think they would even admit this probably privately that they are ahead of schedule with this group. So, but we'll see.
There's one team that I expected you guys to mention because your friend is the head coach, who's not been mentioned yet on this podcast, who lost in the first round last year, and you would expect them to go further, and that would be the Milwaukee Bucks, because you know the last couple of years Giannis has been injured in the playoffs and whatnot, but they went out and got Damian Lillard. They've got Giannis, who right now in the Olympics is looking like a monster. Tomorrow we'll be talking about the Olympics on that episode. But do you guys think the Bucks are going to be a first-round team, second-round team, conference finals teams? How are you looking at them?
Well, before I get into the Bucks, I just want to go back to what BJ, you know, when he mentioned both the Pacers and the Cavaliers. I think they're going to be very good as well. But because the Pacers went to the conference finals last year, I don't see them necessarily going to the finals this coming year. So that's why I didn't put them down. I think they're going to be good, and they're going to be in the mix for sure. And the Cavaliers went to the second round last year. And could I see them getting back to that level again? Yes. Do I see them as a conference finalist or finalist? As we sit here today, no. But look, once the season starts, that, you know, my thought could change on that.
We have some breaking news. Precious Achiuwa has re-signed with the New York Knicks. Mr. Scott Perry, talk to us. How are you liking that move? Because you mentioned him about 10 minutes ago when we were talking about the Knicks. What's your immediate reaction to that news?
It makes a lot of sense for both sides, really. I mean, obviously the market for Precious in free agency didn't work out maybe the way he wanted it to, where he could get a much longer term deal. You know, what I've been hearing is it's probably a 1 year deal for the most money he could get. And that was there in New York. I believe it's for around $6 million. If that was the last thing I kind of heard being tossed around, out here in the rumor mill, if you will. Mm-hmm. So, I like it because now the point you made, even though he's not as big as Mitchell and he's not the same level of rim protector, he was there last season. He knows the system. He knows the players. They know him. Tibbs knows him now. So there's going to be a comfort level. And I thought he played very well when he was called upon last season, both in the regular season and in the playoffs. So I like it. And it gives him a chance to, you know, play a year there and then maybe go out in the free agency next year and get a bigger deal or play well enough to where the Knicks want to retain him and keep him there on a longer term deal. So makes sense both sides and just solidifies that roster that much more.
Absolutely. Absolutely. BJ, any thoughts?
No, I think that was a good pickup by the Knicks. I thought he played well, especially when he came over from Toronto. And I think this will give him an opportunity to increase his value in a winning situation. So I think this was a good move by him to stay there. And there are going to be significant minutes for him in that role that now will be available because of the loss of, Isaiah Hartenstein. So I think this is a good move. I think he fits. And I thought he played well when the minutes were available. I mean, he started some games for them, if I remember correctly, late in the season in the playoffs. Yeah,
necessary for the injuries.
Yeah, I thought he did a really nice job. So, and he fits the bill, right? He's a tough player. He's athletic. And I always like it when you have, you know, clearly if Mitchell is healthy, he will be the starter. But I think he gives them a different dimension. So I always like players when you don't duplicate within your roster the same type of player. So I think this is a good move for them. I don't know what the numbers are. They got him at
$6 million, according to agent Raymond Brothers.
I think that's a good deal for everyone involved. But more importantly, I think this will give him an opportunity to get back onto the market. And you know what? I think someone can get a really nice player. Cause I think he's a more than serviceable player in this league.
No question.
Absolutely. No question. But where were we? We were talking about Milwaukee.
So
Milwaukee.
What do you think? Look. And you and I talked about this, Mo, on the show maybe a week or two ago. Yes, Giannis has to be back and healthy. If he is, we know he's going to play like gangbusters and he's going to give them a chance every night out. But the key for me is Chris Middleton. Can he stay healthy for the season? If Chris Middleton can stay healthy for the season and play the type of basketball that we know he's capable of playing, that makes a big difference for this team. Now, we've talked about it before, being concerned about the overall age of this group, you know, in the regular season and the lack of maybe athleticism, take away Giannis with this starting group. You know, Brook Lopez is 36 years old, but still, very good center, very good player. But when you talking about playing 82 games, again, how much are they going to have, playing three games in four nights? So that's, I'll have to watch that. I need to see which young player that has developed for them, whether it be Beauchamp or
Green
Jackson, the kid from UConn who was a rookie last year. You know, Green, I know, provides some shooting, but they're going to need somebody that can help bring that energy. I did like the signing of Torian Prince, as a veteran player to this group. I did like that. I think that's going to help them. But they're a wild card team for me right now. Would I be surprised if they made a deep run in the playoffs? No. Would I be surprised if they got bumped off early? I wouldn't necessarily be really surprised about that either, because again, you got, what is Dame Lillard now? He's 34, 35 in the backcourt. And so there's questions about Milwaukee for me. What you're banking on is that there's going to be more continuity now that Doc has a full training camp, and so that they can really, iron out some, what they really want to do, and hopefully be a more cohesive group. Because that was one thing. You make a major change like that in the middle of the year with changing your coach. I never thought that this group, they show bits and pieces of cohesion, but it's never anything consistent. So they're going to need to really get that established to be able to, in my opinion, to be a team that's going to make a deep run again. And you guys know how much I love Giannis, and it's hard for me, to pick against him. But I like those, I like Boston better. I like the Knicks better. I know we said this, but I do like Philadelphia better, even though with their frailness with some of the injuries. But I do, going in for this season, I do like Philadelphia better. And then like Orlando, Cleveland, they're going to be tough ball clubs for Milwaukee as well too. So they're going to be in that group for me, those with Orlando and Cleveland, and see what happens there. That's kind of how I have Milwaukee.
BJ, you got more faith in the Bucks, because all season long you guys were talking about them being one of the top contenders last season. Or are you not on the Milwaukee train, so to speak, anymore?
Well, I have one word: defense. And as this team ages, right, they're aging literally right in front of us. I just don't know if they're going to have the ability to play the style that's necessary to play to get through the regular season, so that they can take advantage of a team who, frankly, I think that they're built to probably play in the playoffs when the game slows down a little bit. But they have to get through the regular season to do that. And I don't know if they can do that in the way the game will be played during the course of the regular season. They looked a little slow at times to me. They didn't look as athletic with the exception of Giannis from a year ago. And defensively, it was a problem for this group. Now, do I expect him to be better? Yes, because of Doc Rivers and what he's going to do and he's going to bring. And Scott mentioned that he has a full training camp. But I'm not convinced that this group, as it's currently constructed, that they have enough athleticism to play the way you're going to have to play. And those are very accomplished players. It's not taking away anything from the players that they currently have, but I think it's going to be very tough for them to play against more athletic teams. I think youth will be served. And right now, they're a little long in the tooth as a group. But we'll see. I'm certainly they're going to be prepared and they're going to play hard and so forth and so on. And any team that has Giannis is going to be in the game. They're going to win their fair share of games. But overall, I just don't think they have the energy that's going to be necessary to be able to put forth to push it where I know this team wants to play. I mean, they're not coming there to get to the playoffs. They're coming there to, at the very least, you know, get to the conference finals. And I'm not sure that they're better than any of those teams.
Absolutely. Well, only time's going to tell. The NBA season is creeping towards us and we've got the Olympics before then. And tomorrow we'll be breaking down everything from the Olympic basketball games. So make sure you tune in for that one. If you haven't yet, subscribe to the show on YouTube, Spotify, or Apple. And most importantly, until next time, you guys know what it is. Get buckets.